VIP Conduit presents Getting to Know You for March 2022. For this month, we go to Madison, Wisconsin, and delve into the life of Lori Manny. To help us do that, here is our host, Susie B.
Welcome to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight, our guest is Lori. And Lori, I never say anyone's last names because I usually butcher them. So welcome to Getting to Know You. And what is your last name?
My last name is Manny, spelled M-A-N-I. I've been asked if my name is pronounced Manny. I've had it pronounced that way, or Manny. And some friends in college called me Lori, or even not in college, call me Lori Maniac.
Well, we won't go there. Lori, where were you born?
I was born in Madison, Wisconsin, right here. It was called Madison General Hospital. Now it's called Meritor Hospital, and it has many different clinics now. I was born on October 16th, 1953, and I was premature. I have retinopathy of prematurity, or ROP, used to be called by some other exorbitantly long name, retrolateral fibroplasia or something. And I weighed 2 pounds and 8 ounces, and they rushed me off to the incubator, and I don't remember anything after that for a while.
Okay. You were a small baby. Where did you grow up? In the same area?
Yeah, I grew up here in Madison. Some people would say I didn't grow up, but I grew up here in Madison. I've lived here most of my life, except when I went to college. And that was at Whitewater University.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have 3 brothers, no sisters. I now have a sister-in-law and a couple nephews and a niece. Well, a couple nieces. One's a grandniece, great-niece, whatever you call her. Great-niece and my niece that's the wife of my nephew.
Well, we've already established what caused your vision problem. Are your brothers older than you?
One's older and 2 are younger.
Did you get out and romp and play with your brother?
Yeah, pretty much. Then I had 2 younger brothers that came along, and we used to go outside, and first we lived on this kind of a block with, I don't know why there was a fence around it, but I used to follow the fence around, and I used to try to walk and run and play. And if I ran into something, oh well, that's the way it was, you know. It was fun.
All right. When it was time to go to school, did you go to public school or school for the blind?
I went to public school all the way through the Madison public school system. But I did go to the Janesville School for the Visually Handicapped. They called it WSVH, Wisconsin School for the Visually Handicapped. And I went there after high school, and that's where I learned cane travel. Otherwise, I just sort of got around by gosh and by something else, by luck or something.
In public school, did they provide you with Braille and like a resource teacher, or did you all have a resource room?
We all had, in grade school and everything, we had a resource teacher plus a resource room, and we would go out to other classes during the day. But we would always come back, and it was kind of our home base. And she taught us Braille, our resource teacher did. And all sorts of things about, you know, being blind or whatever, Braille, and just how to behave. Although I didn't need a lot of help with that. And don't believe whatever you hear. You can only believe half of what I say and the other half is questionable. I don't know.
Okay, in grammar school or elementary school, were you involved in activities other than your 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic? Or were you involved in chorus or music of any type?
In grade school, we had music class, which I really enjoyed. In junior high, we had also had music class there. There wasn't really a lot of activities at the elementary school that I can remember.
Okay, at any point, did you take piano lessons?
Getting on toward junior high school, toward sixth, seventh grade, I took piano lessons from a lady that was helping out with swimming lessons where we went. I can't even remember when I started that. I think I started that in seventh grade, swimming lessons. That was one activity I had forgotten about. I did take piano lessons. I learned some Braille music. This teacher did not want me to play by ear because she said that was just repeating things and you didn't really learn. And now I teach piano myself, and I think that's a bunch of yahooey, so I don't teach that.
All right, and swimming, you took swimming lessons. Were you ever on a swimming team?
No, we didn't have a swimming team. They may have had one in high school, but it took me a while to just get used to being in the water. I was afraid to float for a while. I was just kind of, I might sink, which I never did. But after a while, I swam pretty good. And I had more swimming lessons in high school and got to the realm of junior lifesaver. Thank goodness I didn't have to save anyone's life, so that was good.
Do you enjoy swimming? Or did you enjoy swimming?
Yeah, I did. I haven't been swimming for a few years. I like to go down and lay on the bottom of the pool for a couple of seconds. But then, you know, if you're in with a group of people, you don't want somebody to step on you and hold you down there, you know. But I enjoyed swimming.
Okay, when you got to high school, did you get involved in some other areas, such as maybe chorus or band?
To go back a little ways, in junior high, I was in band. We didn't really have a choir in junior high, but in high school, we had both, and I was in choir and in band. I enjoyed it. We went on some field trips or tours with both organizations I did. And we had a lot of fun. And you get to know your classmates a little better. So that was fun. We didn't go on choir and band tours at the very same time. That would have been interesting. But we did go on both choir and band tours.
What instrument did you play? And do you still play it?
I played the trombone, and I still play it in the Madison College Band, even though it's a college band, anybody can join. In fact, we're going to play a concert in a couple days, so I've been playing trombone for quite a long time.
What are some of the numbers that you're going to be playing in your concert?
Well, let's see. I don't know if any of them would be familiar to any of you, but sometimes we've played more famous things. We're going to play one, a medley of tunes from Porgy and Bess, and we're going to play Simple Gifts, and there's so many different arrangements of that, and I can't keep them all straight. I'm going to play something called This Broad Earth. I can't remember who even wrote that, but at least you would probably know a couple of the things that we're going to play. So if you all want to come to Madison, Wisconsin, you can just come to my concert Thursday night at 7:30.
I love band music, so I would really enjoy that. What were some of the tours that you did with the band? Did you go anywhere interesting?
We just mostly went to high schools in different places. We went to somewhere in Minnesota, and we also went to Illinois. It might have been Galena, Illinois, or not sure of the town now. It was so long ago. But yes, we did go to different things, and we had a clinic, which is another trombone person came, and actually they were a regular brass person, the whole brass thing. I don't know what this person played, but we played songs for him, and he would kind of critique them and show us more refined ways of doing things and just kind of give you a perspective from someone else's view other than your band teacher.
After graduation, I think you mentioned that you went to the School for the Visually Handicapped in your state. What sort of things did you take there?
We had living skills, which was cooking and some sewing and some different kinds of things, occupational things. I think we had some typing. Yeah, we had some typing. We had to research in the library and do a term paper. We had mobility, how to use a cane and learn cane travel and stuff. It was interesting. I think they had some music things, but I don't know if they were being offered that summer or not. It was just a summer school program that I went to that lasted for about 6 weeks or so.
Right. When you said the independent living skills and you started off with that, I taught independent living skills at Rehab Center for about 6 years. And I used to say that independent living skills was the things that nobody wanted to teach, but everybody needed.
Yeah, that's about it. And probably nobody wanted to take it either. When I got into it, I'm like, what is this all about? We had to learn how to do a laundry. And one day the first time we went to the laundromat, I spilled my box of powdered soap into someone else's laundry basket. Oh my, it was, you know, some things you do at the beginning of those things is kind of embarrassing, but I got over it now. It was quite a while ago, but I think you're right about that. Nobody wants to teach it, and maybe nobody wants to take it either.
Well, I really meant that no one wanted to take it, but it was something that you needed. Yeah. Yeah, we had quite a few of those experiences as well. Okay, after the summer program, then what did you do? Did you go to college? And where did you go?
Yeah, so I went to college. I went to Whitewater University, which is kind of south of, I think it's south of Madison. Don't ask me it. Somebody who's really good in geography could tell me just completely that I was wrong. But it's not too far from Madison, near Janesville, near the School for the Visually Handicapped. And they had a program there for disabled students, and they would register you and get you all set up for your classes. And I got different things from the American Printing House for the Blind and big reel-to-reel tape recorder, typewriter, and everyone was very helpful to help me get set up in college. And it was an eye-opening experience.
Can you think of one instance that it was like, oh, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I think so. Such as if I lost something, you know, forgot it when I was supposed to be going to class and things like that. It'd be like, who told me I could do this? What made me think I could do this? Or not turning in a paper very well, or, you know, something, doing something, screwing up where I didn't understand. When you're that age, you think you know a whole bunch, but then you figure out you really don't know anything.
Did you have a problem finding readers in college?
No, not too much. I don't remember how I did it. I might have put up a sign or had someone help me put up a sign on the dorm bulletin board or something. I know somehow I did get readers. In some ways, it's been harder to get them since I got out of college, but it has worked out. And I don't remember having too much trouble in college getting readers.
Thinking back, can you think of maybe a specific hurdle that you had before age 25? And this could have been in terms of getting to somewhere in college, dealing with how you're going to take tests, or maybe getting lost when you were going to just anything. Can you think of something that was like, oh my gosh, and you just didn't think you could get out of it, but of course you did, and then after it was, you just felt like you had climbed a huge mountain.
Around 1976 was when I switched to my second major, my first major being social welfare. And I switched to music because I thought it was going to be a real easy little thing. And so I didn't practice very well the first semester. So it was like I just completely bombed the test. And I thought, what in the world? What am I doing here? And then, you know, I did overcome. And at the end of my college career, I did have a senior recital, which went very well. But I did have, that was one hurdle that I had. And I can't remember some of the others. Just getting to know people and interacting with people and getting around the campus could be interesting, but it was a smaller college. It wasn't big like UW-Madison or anything like that. That's a bigger campus.
Well, I could see why going to college, because you were staying in the dorm there, staying on campus, right? And that was the first time that you had really, except for maybe the summer program, you had really been away from home during class time, right?
Yeah, it was something else. You didn't have the home kind of routine. You had another routine. And in some ways, I was kind of glad to get away from home. My father drank a lot, and I turned out to be an alcoholic in college, and And in social work, I was kind of studying the very things that were wrong with me. So I studied all sorts of different things that I thought, I have that. I have this. So it was kind of an eye-opener. People weren't all the same as your home and your family.
Well, I know there were a lot of students in college in the dormitory that was their first time away from home. They were sighted. They had no, you know, drawbacks than any of us knew about. But they were so homesick, they just couldn't handle being away from home. And so they, two or three people that I knew, just dropped out and went back home and went to a local junior college for a couple of years. I don't know what happened after that. But, well, after you got out of college, were you able to find a job?
I thought I was going to be, you know, a famous trombone star, you know, but that didn't really happen. But I did take up teaching piano, because you can teach private piano and you don't have to have necessarily a degree, although I do have a degree in music. I have a Bachelor of Music. I majored in trombone, but I knew enough about piano to teach some. I had one blind student after college, and I taught him how to read Braille music, and he did pretty good. He was very intelligent, and he wanted to invent his own system. And I said, well, you can invent your own system, but while you're here, you need to do what I tell you to do. I'm not usually very authoritarian, I don't think, but I must have had enough authority to, he listened to me. And I've had various students after that. And I thought of getting into the professional, what do they call that? You pay the union. Sometimes you spend more money getting into the union than you get out of it sometimes, that I've heard.
How long have you been playing with the trombone, with the orchestra?
Well, I started trombone in seventh grade, which was in 1967, and I played through junior high and high school and college, and then I took a few years off after college from playing because I didn't know there was anything available, but then I've gotten into the Madison Municipal Band. I played there for about 25 years now, so I've been playing for quite a long time.
I think that's great. How do you handle bill paying and shopping? Do you go shopping with someone or do it online or get somebody to do it and you just take what they get fined?
Well, I used to just, when I was younger, I used to go shopping and just get, you know, have help and stuff or not, or get someone in the store to help me. But nowadays we have a main friend that helps us to shop, and we order it, you know, online, and then we go pick it up. But when I first learned to do it, it was quite an interesting little challenge, because you had to go to the store, and then you had to carry all the groceries home yourself in your knapsack. That's what I did. And sometimes I'm not sure how I made it home, but I made it. It was a good experience to know what to get and what not to get and what was, you know, too much to spend on something, and but you wanted good quality too. But I usually either had help from a friend or help in the store in my younger days.
Well, the thing of it is, you've had all these experiences. And, you know, and having had these experiences, then that gives you some good material for stories. And I love stories. Not lies, but just, you know, things that have happened. What are some of your hobbies other than the music?
I enjoy reading all different types of books, different Christian books. I wanted to say that in high school I went to a church service and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Wanted to get that in there, and he's helped me a lot. I've played at churches, led worship a worship team at church. I do have some hobbies. I like to read various books. I kind of like to read about physics and astronomy because it's so out of the range of ordinary things you can read about. And some of it's way over my head, but I think some of it trickles down and gets in there somewhere. When I can, I like to ride motorcycles. I went up in a couple of hot air balloon rides, and those were really fun. I like flying in almost anything. I like getting together with friends and going out for ice cream and other things.
You said you like to go out for ice cream. Do you have a favorite flavor or favorite ice cream concoction?
Sometimes people think I'm boring because I like vanilla ice cream with chocolate sauce. Sometimes I like espresso because I like the coffee flavor in it. We go to Culver's quite a bit. We have ice cream at home here usually, so we can have it whenever we like. But the doctor says you shouldn't have too much ice cream, but you know, I haven't figured out how much too much is yet, so I just keep eating it.
Okay, tell me about, back up a bit on this motorcycle thing. Who do you ride motorcycles with? I am guessing that you're riding behind someone, right?
Yeah, I'm riding on the back. I've had different relatives and different friends give me rides. There was one time in 1975, I was at some friend's house and we were getting ready for some friend's wedding, and this man gave me a ride on his motorcycle, and I said, I wonder what it would be like to drive this thing. So we were in the country, and he taught me how to drive it. But nobody saw us. Well, I had these sunglasses on, and he said, oh, the cops just went by, but they just waved and smiled, so you don't have to worry. Later on, I found out he was a druggie, but oh well, that time it was, it was okay. That's the only motorcycle I've actually driven. I've flown in some small airplanes and a big jet, of course. They say I'm a daredevil or something.
I'm a bit envious with your hot air balloon. For years, I would have loved to have gone up in a hot air balloon. How was that?
It was wonderful. I like heights. I like spaciousness. And it was very spacious up there. It's partly because you can't see what's up there. But it's quiet up there. Unless you turn on the propane burners, which you use to get yourself higher, you just pull a cord and there's a burner above you and it goes whoosh, hiss really loud, and then you go up and when you stop the burner, you float around or descend, and it's just completely quiet. You hear like things below you, like dogs barking and things, like everything's way in the distance and you're just in this spaciousness.
Oh, how neat. Okay, well, I think I've asked you about all the questions I have, but before the group gets a chance to ask questions, is there anything that you would like to add that I have forgotten?
Well, I had said that I was an alcoholic in college, and that extended to after college, but then in 1985... I was already a Christian, but I had an encounter with the Lord, and it really caused me to stop drinking. I was reading out of the book of Proverbs one day, and there's a place where it says, who has sorrow? Who has woe? Is it not the person who tarries long after wine, you know, sits over a wine glass and sits for hours and drinks, and then you feel like you're laying on top of a mast of a ship, and you're just, ooh. And then you wake up and say, I must seek another drink. It says that. And it was like the Lord said, I'm talking to you. And I said, me? And he said, yes, you're the only one in this room. Because I lived by myself at that time. And I just knew that the Lord was speaking very powerfully to me. And he said, if you don't stop drinking like this, you're going to wreck, you know, you're going to ruin your life and your soul and everything. I'm like, okay, well, I said, if you will help me, I will promise not to have another drink. And the only drinks I've had were like those non-alcoholic beers and stuff, but I decided those weren't good for me either. I know some people really like them and they're good, but for me it was like the real thing almost. And so I haven't had a drink for 36 years, almost 37 maybe. It's not to brag at all, because if it wasn't for the Lord, I would never have made it.
Well, congratulations to you for that. And I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest on Getting to Know You. And I think we have had an opportunity to get to know you. But right now, I'm going to let the group ask you questions. And if there's anything that you really don't want to answer, all you need to do say is, let's move on. Okay? Gang, meet Lori.
I just want to thank you for the interview, Lori. And I also had retrolintro fibroplasia, is what it was called. And I was born premature as well. And also went to public school a lot of my time. And lived pretty recklessly as far as getting around, kind of like you did. So I could identify with a lot of it. And I just want to thank you for the interview. And thank you for your time telling us about you.
Hey, Lori, great interview. I take it your instrument now is still the trombone. Now, to me, it looks like a trombone is really hard, would be really hard to play. And I'm just wondering, do you think that at all that that's sort of a hard instrument to play?
No, I think it's one of the easier instruments, because you have to memorize where the positions of the slide are, but you can do that if you can hear the notes that they're supposed to sound like, you know, in your ear. And part of it is where you are in position to the bell of the trombone. It's hard to explain, but it wasn't really hard for me to do it. I just go according to where I know the positions to be, and I touch the bell to make sure I'm at the right position, because that would be in the middle of the positions as you slide down the slide. I'm not explaining it very well, but you'd have to come to my house and I'd have to show you for a trombone lesson, which I've only given a couple of those, but they weren't in real college or anything. They were just a friend I helped out.
Are you saying that playing the trombone, you pucker and slide?
Yes, you have different lip positions, and the slide, you move according to those lip positions. It's like an elevator that you move to certain floors, and some big elevators in buildings are, you go up to floor 35, and then you have to get to another elevator to go up to this floor. And that's kind of how the trombone is. You can't just slide from the bottom note of your scale or whatever to the top note. You have to do other things in order to slide. with it. But I've now not explained it well, I fear.
I'm sorry to have interrupted. I was teasing you. Okay, more questions?
Well, there's a couple of things that you didn't cover that are quite interesting about you. You also play other instruments besides trombone. And then you also have another hobby that takes up a lot of your time in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Well, I play other instruments. I play guitar and ukulele, piano, Celtic harp, which is a smaller kind of harp. It doesn't have the big pedals like the big orchestra harps, but it has levers that you push, up and down to get the sharps and flats and things like that. And I've tried mandolin and did okay with that, sorta. I love listening to sports. My favorite is probably basketball. And spend a lot of time in the evenings doing that. The basketball is just, I always like the, you know, Harlem Globetrotters, and I like the tall guys in the basketball stuff. There's a lot of people, 7-footers and over, and I just enjoy the movement of the game and the excitement that can happen.
Snowball Joint Channel.
Lori, thank you for sharing your life with us, and it's always nice to see how somebody else approaches problems and solution and solve them and overcomes problems. It's always helpful to me. Thank you,
Lori. This is Ned Benton. Hadn't talked with you in a long time, and I'm having problems with my voice these days. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you for your honesty and your openness about your problems, including the drinking problem. I had a dad that was an alcoholic, and I just knew that he would die drunk, but he quit drinking about a year before he died, wound up with bladder cancer, probably because of the alcohol. I think you handled your challenges quite well. And that reminded me of a saying I read in the Reader's Digest 100 years ago that said, big shots are just little shots that keep on shooting. So hang in there. You got the world by the tail.
Well, thank you, Ned. I've had some troubles with my voice too lately. I'm not sure what it is, but it's better tonight than usual. I prayed that it would be, and it has been. But it's been a joy for me to come on here and share with you all. So I don't know if there's any other questions. You can feel free to ask me.
Thank you, Lori, for coming in and telling your life story. And I was wondering, you and Marv recorded anything together playing?
We've recorded, I think, a few of our little, Mar and I jam every day, and sometimes we've recorded things that we've worked up, but we even like to do it just impromptu to see how it turns out. But I don't know, we might have some of those, don't we, Mar?
Yeah, we've got a few things. Tell them how we started jamming.
Well, we started jamming because we just kind of got, you know, bored with life, and you couldn't go out and you couldn't do anything. So we decided that every day for at least 15 minutes, turns out to be half hour, sometimes 45 minutes to an hour, but it just depends. We promised to jam for 15 minutes a day, and most of the time we've kept that up, except when there was sometimes that we weren't able to because of schedules and illness and stuff. I was in the hospital this summer because I was weakened. I'd lost a best friend last year to COVID, and I just gave up on life, and I just didn't. I just wanted to go to heaven where this friend was, and God had other ideas, and I'm thankful He brought me out of it, but it was quite a challenge. Is that how we did it, Mar?
Yeah, yep. We just decided that we needed something to look forward to every day, so we started jamming. Yep.
Other questions?
For those of you that knew I was in the hospital, I wanted to thank you for all your thoughts and prayers. And even if you forgot to pray, that's all right, too, because a lot of times I forget to pray for others. But I've really enjoyed this time and everything like that. And just want to say God bless all of you.
Well, again, Lori, thank you so, so much for doing this and allowing us to get to know you much better. And we hope we're going to see a lot of you, or a lot more of you anyway. Thanks again, Mar, for recommending Lori. And thanks to all of you for coming and participating. And we'll do it again next month. And I'll have to look to see who the person's going to be. So thanks again. Good night, everyone.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.